Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Good. And I love when he moves, however he wants to move, when he moves, and whatever he wants to do. And you know what I love about this church is that we're free to go with it. We're free to go with God at any time and respond. And I love that. And you know, Keith said this morning, you know, Keith and I have been talking a lot recently about, you know, about the story of David and his mighty men, and they spent about 20 years in a cave. I don't want to spend 20 years in a cave, but they spent 20 years in a cave and they were broken and trodden down and lots of stuff had happened. But in that 20 years, there was a preparation time happening, and they came out different people. And so I believe right now, not that we're going to go through 20 years, but I believe that there's a preparation time happening for us in this church, a preparation time for what's ahead. And we don't know fully what's ahead, but that's the beautiful thing about God. He knows what's ahead. And if we just go with it and be open and respond in a free way, he'll bless it. Amen? He'll bless it. So be encouraged this morning. Lots and lots of words that are confirming all of those things. I'm just going to get ready this morning. Do you have your Bibles this morning? I just want to read out of 2 Corinthians 12. I'm just going to take my watch off so I can watch the time. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. But he said to me, my grace, my favour and loving kindness and mercy, this is out of the Amplified, is enough for you, sufficient against any danger and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. My strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled and completed and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses and my infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ, the Messiah, may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. That scripture turns everything upside down. It says that in our weakness, in our failures, in our disappointments, in our sin, we're made strong because of the power of God. We're made strong because we're in Christ and we've experienced his redemptive nature. How can you go wrong when you have that? Honestly, how can you go wrong? I love that scripture. I got another version of it. It says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly for my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This morning, we are a strong people. No matter what's going on in our lives, we are a strong people. We follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who brought us freedom, who brought us healing, who brought us joy for mourning, who brought us peace in the midst of chaos, who turns our world upside down. And this morning I really wanted to speak about freedom in failure. You know, over the last couple of weeks, I just have not been able to shake failure. You know, I've just seen it keep rising up, failure, failure, failure. And I said to God, what is that about? And, you know, from time to time in my life, I have experienced failure, or the feelings of failure, or seeing things come to pass that I worked hard for not come to pass and felt like a failure. You know, and I've been, what is that all about? And I believe God was talking to me about the power of failure and how it can be turned for good, for God, and the power of failure of how it works in people's lives in the wrong way. You know, and this morning we talked a bit about identity. Our identity is in Christ. It's not in each other. It's not, you know, our identity or our success is not in how many things we have. It's not in what other people think about us, whether they like us or dislike us. Our success or our identity is not in our job. It's not what we do. It's not in our bank balance, how much we have. You know, the world is about, you know, getting more. Get. Look at what I have. That's not our identity. Our identity is not in our title. Our identity is in Christ. We are a people who have been redeemed. We are a people who have been pulled up from the ground, from the miry clay, and rebuilt again. We are a people of freedom who, before we met Christ, we were bound and trapped in our sins and our failures and our disappointments. We were those people, but that's not our identity now. We are the apple of God's eye. And, you know, that's really, really hard to comprehend sometimes as people because we are made of flesh. You know, what we identify with in our lives matters, doesn't it? It really matters what we identify with. You know, and our self-worth, so it's related to our self-worth, comes under attack all the time, you know. And we do a pretty good job of it ourselves. Half the time we don't need people to work on our self-worth. We do a pretty good job ourselves. You know, it's funny. You know, we have that self-talk that goes on. You know, I'm not good enough. I don't belong. I don't make the mark. Any of you, have you gone through things like that? You know, where your self-talk tries to dictate. And, you know, as I said, it's the opposite to God. You know, our acceptance, our belonging, our identity comes from God, our Creator. And He does not see us as failures. Otherwise, He wouldn't have sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross for you and I. He believed in humanity. That's why He gave His Son for you and I. Because He believed more for us than we could ever believe. And when you think about that, that changes everything. And that infers or invites us to live and put on the mind of Christ in whatever we do in our lives. And, you know, failure can become our identity, unfortunately, can't it? It can become our identity. And, you know, it becomes to dictate what we do and how we see things. Brett said this morning, you know, the filter or the glasses, God sees us through His glasses and His filter, not ours. But when you've got the filter of failure on, everything you do sometimes can equate to another failure. And sometimes you can camp in it. And what happens when you camp in failure? Nothing. Nothing happens. You don't go forward. Nothing good happens. You see everything with those glasses on. You know, instead of living free, you live in bondage of failure. Everything is a disappointment, even if it's not. You give up the will to try and believe for anything else. Circumstances creep in and take over and they become part of our identity. Shame, accusation, blame try to rule. Now let's get something straight here this morning. Shame and blame started at the beginning, didn't it? With the enemy, with the serpent, with the devil. You know, he came along with Adam and Eve. He got them in And then suddenly they experience shame for the first time. I mean, they had everything going for them. I blame them. They had everything going for them. They're in the garden of God. Imagine the garden, a perfect garden, perfect grass, perfect plants, fruit, food available. They didn't have to work. They had everything. Adam would walk. God would walk with Adam in the cool of the night. Imagine that at the end of the day, meeting with God and chatting and having time out, and he was there. They had everything, but they got tempted and they went to a place they shouldn't go to. And then they experienced shame and blame. And the enemy has been using shame and blame ever since. And shame and blame are powerful tools in the negative. And we, from time to time, as people, use shame and blame, either for ourselves or others. Even sometimes we don't even know we're doing it. I'm guilty of that. You know, and failure can also get in other ways. You know, we talked this morning a bit about, Keith said about, you know, we've been believing for 20 years for lots and lots of things. We've had lots of promises said and lots of prophecies and all these sorts of things, and I think you probably have too. And when it doesn't happen yet, let me say that, yet. When it doesn't happen yet, you can feel like a failure. And you, even though you have no control over it, and you can start to despise the promises of God. You know, we're talking last night, we're talking about a few things, and I've been reading a book that Jennifer lent me on, what is it? Wounded by God's People. Really good book by Billy Graham's daughter. And she talks about Sarah and Abraham and, what's her name? Thank you, Hagar. Talks about Hagar and Hagar, how Hagar was mistreated and all these sort of things and everything she had to go through. But, you know, with Sarah, she had been given a promise. But she was getting pretty desperate. And I reckon she probably got to a point where she was despising the promise of God because it hadn't happened. And how easy is it to sometimes get to that place where you start to despise the promise of God because it hasn't happened yet in your time? And, you know, it's all learning. When we fail, we learn. When we fail, when our weakness shines, God's strength shines. Think about that. In our failure, God shines. God makes good from bad. The promises of God happen and come to pass in his timing, not ours, if we don't faint, if we don't try and do it ourselves. Sarah tried to do it herself. It was not a good idea. Not a good idea. Is there a promise that you have spent a lifetime waiting for that hasn't happened? I have some of those. Keep believing. Stay strong. Trust God. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust your own filters of life, but trust God and who he is as a redemptive king in our lives. You know, I love this scripture. It says, Romans 8 says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit gives life and has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sinful offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. And in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is no condemnation to those who live in Christ. and we live according to the Spirit. You know, failure is not the opposite of success, it's part of success. A failure is not a loss, it's a gain. You learn, you change, you grow. It is better to make 1,000 failures than to be too cowardly to ever undertake anything. Now, we're not a people who shy back from undertaking things, are we? We don't shy back. We go, okay, I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know how it's going to work out, but we're going to have a go. That's all God wants. He just wants us to have a go. That's faith in action. That's how basic and simple Christ is and his message. He just wants us to have a go. And when you know that there's no failure in Christ, then you should be able to have a go, no matter what. We all have stuff-ups. We do. We all have stuff-ups. Adam and Eve, I said, they had a great life, tempted, wrecked it for all of us. King David and Bathsheba, he committed adultery with another man's wife because his lust ruled his heart. He slept with Bathsheba, she got pregnant. He sent Bathsheba's husband, who was an honourable man, sent him out on the front line to be killed in the battle. Terrible, terrible thing to do as a man of God and as a king. Terrible stuff up. Jonah had a purpose mapped out from God for him. But in his weakness and being scared and whatever else was going on in his head, ran from God and ran from the promises of God, ran from it all and got scooped up by a whale. And there's a debate what happened to him in that whale. Did he die? Was he alive? He came out bleached. Did he die and then God raised him from the dead? You know, when he was on the boat and the storm was getting pretty wild and the people around were like, what's going on here? Why is this big storm? Why is this all happening? He was a man of God. He knew why. He said, it's me. It's me. I know it's me. I've failed. I know it's me. They threw him over. The fish got him. Vomited him out on the beach. What a sight that would have been. Vomited him out on the beach. He gets his act together and does what he's called to do. It's still not a great story in the end. But he went from failure, got God's strength, and went again. Another stuff up. Jacob, Condi's brother, out of his birthright with a bowl of stew. Stuff up. Peter claimed to be the best disciple. The best. He would never deny Christ. Denied Christ. You know, these are mighty men and women of God that stuffed up. But God, through his redemptive nature and his love for us, made things good out of bad. Our failure or the way we see things or our disappointments is not the way God sees it. And we should use that to find freedom. We should use that with others to help them to find freedom. Christ sets us free. He sets us free. He takes hold of that thing that tries to shut us down, that tries to keep us bound and entrapped. And he takes that thing and he breaks it. And he brings us freedom so we can go again. There's always consequences, but God makes good because he's a supernatural God. Yesterday, Danny said, you know, God would rather you broken and open than in denial and closed. broken and open. I've had many times where I've been broken, but still open for God to come and bring healing and bring restoration and do things that I couldn't do for myself. That's the redemptive nature of Christ. Psalm 34, verse 4. Psalm 34, verse 4 says, I sought, inquired of the Lord and required him of necessity and on the authority of his word, and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Then looked to him and were radiant. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces shall never blush for shame or be confused. Oh, sorry, I've got the wrong scripture there. Let me find that again. 34. Where are we? No, just 34, verse 4. I sought, inquired of the Lord and required him of necessity and on the authority of his word, and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Fear is a normal thing, isn't it? We fear things all the time. Fear the unknown. Fear things we've never done before. Fear hurt. Fear disappointment. Fear failure. Fear things when they're not going right. But God hears everything. He knows what we're going through. And he comes alongside of us. And he brings peace. And he says, it'll be okay. You know, it'll be okay. And really, as a people, we got to keep going on because it'll be okay. And if we have to do things afraid, if we have to do things out of our failure and out of our disappointment and out of things that don't make sense, it's okay because that's just life. Nothing is perfect. It's not come to Christ and everything's going to be rosy. That's not what his word says. He says, you know, there'll be persecutions, there'll be things that happen, but in your weakness, I'll be strong for you. I'll be strong for you. What an awesome thing, an awesome promise. I'll be strong for you. You know, we all have stuff-ups, things that have gone wrong. You know, I, over the years, being involved in churches, been involved in running churches since I was 23, very green in my 20s. As a leader, I had no idea on anything, but made lots of stuff-ups, lots, with people, which is not always good. You know, things went wrong quite regularly, but I learned. I learned some things with the help of God. I learned because I grew, because I drew on his strength, not on my own. And I remember being at a meeting one time and a prophet came and she said, you have not failed, honey. That's what she said. You have not failed. And I just remember bawling my eyes out because everything was going wrong and it was out of my control. And I just felt like the biggest failure. The biggest failure. And at the time we had young kids and who knows that kids don't come with a manual? Parenthood doesn't come with a manual, does it, Shane? It doesn't come with a manual. And so, you know, as parents, when things are going on in our life, in other areas, sometimes we're not the greatest parents as well. It's just like another level of stuff in our life. And, you know, I was trying to manage work, we were trying to do churches and I was trying to manage two young kids that were 13 months apart and it was all on, it was all happening. And so when that word came, that just brought such a freedom to my life. It was like an instant breakthrough in God. It's going to be okay. God knows your weaknesses. He knows what's going on and he'll turn it around. And, you know, I made all sorts of stuff ups as a parent. You know, when Kirale was 6 years, when she was 6 weeks old, I dropped her on her head accidentally. I put her on a seat and she fell over on her head. Freaked me out totally. When Josiah was little, you know, when they had little fingers and little nails, I tried to trim his nails. Nan was there for that one. Tried to trim his nails and I cut off part of his finger. You know, stuff happens. Stuff just happens. Oh, I was so upset. I was bawling my eyes out. Tried to kill my son. You know, stuff happens. I remember being under so much pressure when I was younger, trying to do it all and be the super mum. I was just so stressed and I really wasn't seeing things clearly. And I can remember one day, Josiah was, he chucked a load of tantrums. Nothing much has changed now. He's not here, so I can say that. He's in the kids' church. And he just used to chuck tantrums all the time. And what we found out later on was that he had an ear problem and he was having constant earaches. So he was in constant pain. And eventually we got him grommets and that sorted that issue. But one day I was so stressed and Keith had to work on a Saturday. And I was like, I can't believe you're working on a Saturday. And so I had the kids to myself and I'm driving in the driver's seat and Josiah's in the back seat with a plastic bottle hitting me on the head as I'm driving. I didn't have much of a fuse that day. I didn't have much patience that day. I wasn't really very godly that day. And something snapped in me. I could see, Keith reckons I couldn't, but I could see Keith from the corner of my eye coming, walking down the pathway where I was picking him up after work. I could see him. Pulled into the curb, stopped the car, got out, pulled out Josiah, put him on the curb and drove off. I drove off. It's not something I'd advise you to do as a parent. It's not good parenting advice. And to this day, honestly, to this day, I still feel the pain of that. I still thought, what was I thinking? You know, what was going through my head? You know, I had really had to work through that. I felt like a failure as a mum. Completely. You know, completely. But God's good. Josiah doesn't have any major hang-ups in that area. But we have days and we have seasons and we have times when we stuff up, when failures come. But we're not supposed to camp in it. Get on with it. Okay, I failed today, God. Or I sinned today, God. Or whatever happened. I'm sorry, let's move on. I take hold of the redemptive power of Christ in my life to make good out of bad and I move on. And if you can get that, you're doing well. If you can get hold of that, and the nature of God and how he works and how the Spirit comes and how the Holy Spirit ministers to us in times of need, you're doing well. And as a church, we take hold of that. Yes, we've had some stuff ups. You know, we have. We've had things happen. You've got stories in your own lives and in your own family. But we keep going. And we keep drawing on the source of God. And we move on. And thank God for that. You know, our battle scars are our moments of victory in Christ. You got some battle scars? They belong to Christ. They're our victories. They're our victories. How good is that? 1 Peter 1 verse 18 says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that they were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. You know, we've been redeemed by the Lamb. We've been redeemed by somebody who had no blemish or defect and took on all of our blemishes and took on all of our defects and does it daily for us. Daily for us, so that we can keep going, so that we can be a people who succeed. This won't always be the way here at Central Life. This is a preparation time. Get on board. Get on the bus of preparation and get ready. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." God's grace. You know, if you are struggling right now, or if you have patterns in your life that surround around failure and around disappointment and around promises that you haven't seen yet, let's pray this morning for the redemptive nature of Christ to rule in your life and for that to be broken. We are a people that want to go forward. We don't want to camp here. I don't want to camp in my failures. I have a list of them. But I refuse to camp in them. It's part of me, but it doesn't define me. It's not my identity. My identity is in Christ. You need to hear that this morning. It doesn't define you. Your identity is in Christ, and we are a free people because of Christ. And we have to show that to others. Have to walk in the power of Christ and break off things in people's lives. If that's you this morning, I don't want you to come out. I just want us to all stand this morning as we finish. And as our eyes are closed this morning, we're just going to pray. But if that is you this morning who, you know, failure is ruling your life right now or has ruled your life for a long time, I just want you to put up your hand this morning. I'm going to get a few people just to pray today, because we need breakthrough to be able to go to the next part, whatever that is, of his destiny for our lives. You know, Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for your redemptive power in our lives. I thank you that on the cross, you paid all. You covered all. All of our stuff. All of our stuff-ups. You covered and made right. You made history out of our disappointments. You made history. You turned things from good to bad. Lord, we declare your goodness right now over this people, over this community, over this nation, that we can hold our heads up high and we can shine for you, that we can share the freedom of Christ that you've given to us. Lord God, if there are people here this morning, just put your hand up while we're in prayer, and we're just going to pray for you this morning. If you struggle right now with disappointment and failure, right now, we're just going to give some time to that. Thank you. Thanks, guys. I'll just ask for a couple of people right now to gather around these people, and we're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you. Lord God. Lord, I ask you to peel back these layers right now, to peel back these layers that have made a home right now, to peel them back, Lord Jesus, to take them away. Lord God, we call on you right now and we draw from your redemptive power right now to take over all of our thoughts, all the things we've carried in our heart that we've carried for years, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We invite your Holy Spirit now to minister. Right now. Right now. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Ghost, right now to minister. Minister deep into our souls, deep into the places that we've kept shut, that we've held on to minister and bring healing right now in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be healed in every part that has stopped you, every part that has kept you captive in the place you were never supposed to be in. Thank you, God, for freedom right now. Right now, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you, God, for freedom right now. Freedom, 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 freedom. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Freedom, freedom. A new place, a new house. Thank you, God, that you're bringing us into a new place, a new house that you've prepared for us personally, a house of freedom. A house where we're free to be. A house where we know our identity is in you and not in any other thing. Lord Jesus, give us an armor, Lord God, that cannot be chinked. An armor that cannot be broken, Lord God. An armor where things come against us and they bounce off in Jesus' name. I see that right now for some people right now. Things are bouncing off. They're bouncing off you. Right now, bouncing off you. Right now, I see people right now that have just been, you've been laying low, really low, laying in a place going, no more, I've had it, no more. Well, I see God coming right now and picking you up again, picking you up again. Father, we're open to be picked up again. You know, when God moves, you've got to be open to it. Open to go with God. Let him pick you up again and move you. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. Have a great day. If you still need prayer, I'm happy to pray for you this morning out in the altar. If others want to come and pray as well. But you are blessed. Blessed to be a blessing. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.